And oh yeah, here we go. We're starting up this brand new show. It's called Outliers Ed Podcast, and now we're gonna do it really fast. Oh yeah, my name is Niyama Shang, and welcome to the Outliers Ed Podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make the biggest difference in the world. I want to say that again because, like, while we were having fun with it is everything that we do here. This is the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their biggest difference in the world. I choose to stand in that. Each time we bring on an outlier, and we have a phenomenal outlier for you today that's going to be joining us here. But each time we bring in an outlier, they are shaping their world. They are finding the ways to help us as a humanity to step into what's next for us. And they're doing it their way, you know? And so I get excited for that because not only are they doing it, they're just happen to be the people I have the happenstance to be able to be in conversation with. I know you're about it. And if, like, right now, I just as I started this, my 2-year-old started crying. She, or that's not even 2-1, but she just woke up. And I think about that. If there's ever a time where you need to be reminded that the game that you're playing is much bigger than what the walls around you might look like, or the dogs around you might be barking and telling you, like, remember that. Remember that we are in this game. I see you, I'm listening for you, and I'm bringing on others that do the same. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of sitting with Jenna Wasneski. Jenna, it brings me great joy to be in space with you. Thank you for like the your being called that introduction out for me today. So just thank you for that here.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here with you today to continue our conversation and just share in this incredible energy that that you create for people.
Well, we are creating, like, we specifically have, like, Alex, just so you know, like, before anyone comes on here, I have a conversation with them. We call it a co-creation conversation. And it's really around the space of co-creating, like making this into our own. That's why each podcast has its own different feel and flavor to it. And yeah, Jenna, like I really do mean, like, you bring something out of me that makes me want to both play, but also stay, like, bam, right in the pocket around, like, what's the actual mission? Do you mind if I share just a little bit more about, like, the impact you've had on me so far?
Please, yeah, that'd be
Okay,
great.
cool. So what I like the first thing that comes to mind is just, like, joy. Like, I literally enjoy our time together. When we come in, the conversations are easy, they're smooth, but, like, they're also very grounded and visionary. I think that's one of the things that I feel with you. It's like there's a practical vision to it. I think about this a lot. Like, how do you take a vision and bring it down to and actually, like, bring it down to earth to be able to take something that's, like, up in the air and be able to bring it out to life? And when I spend time with you, you're one of the people who gets my juices flowing in the visionary side of things. And I feel like there is no real limit or end of possibility. And that's how I like to walk through life. But it is really refreshing to be with someone who is just, like, continuing to encourage that forward, and then to have the confidence in them and in our relationship to be able to take all of that high level stuff and say, now nah, let's go and make it actually happen.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say, like, I know we're still getting to know each other, but who you be comes through very strongly for me in that regard. And I want to thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I feel very seen with what you just said. I think everything you said is definitely a strength of mine, like really having a million ideas. But with those million ideas, it's like, okay, so which ones are we going to do? Which ones feel like the practical ones that are going to like get us the most momentum? And also being like able to course correct when, and we talked about this a little bit, like having the ability and the courage to pivot when things maybe aren't going quite exactly the way you want them to, and you have a vision for how you actually want to see them happen. So I do feel very seen in how you describe me, and I do what you said about like, let's have fun, but let's get stuff done. Like those are two things that I definitely try to bring, to every situation I'm in.
All right, well, let's play with that today, and then let's see what else we want to bring to the table. All right.
That sounds good.
So Jenna, like I've shared a bit about who you've been to me so far, and I want to give outliers out there a chance to get to know you. Like by invitation, enter the brag zone. The brag zone is not a place where you have to be bragging. It's just like what you've done, right? So like, I would love to like actually just get a chance to know you. You can share, like, let's do it this way. Why don't you share like two or three things from like your highlight reel, like things that you're really proud of. And then let us know more about your mission and why that like lights you up. All right. But like, give us a chance to like really get to see like the game that you play and the game that you are now choosing to play.
Yeah, for sure. So I like to say that I've been a leader my whole life. My first leadership role was when I was 3.5 years old and I became a big sister. I've got like very like the eldest daughter vibes happening here. But ever since that time, and anyone who is like the oldest child knows that you're in a space of like influencing people and holding space and helping people be their best and seeing like maximize, like all of those things that eventually turn into really, really great leadership traits. And for better, for worse, I took on lots of leadership roles throughout like high school and college and career and everywhere. And I always knew that I loved leadership. I loved it. And I was also someone who is a very much a high achiever. And like, you know, you go to college and then I went to grad school and I did the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I hit this point where I went all the rungs up the rungs of the ladder that you feel like you're supposed to hit. And I realized like, wait a second, I achieved all the things I thought I was supposed to achieve. Shouldn't I be happier by now? And it was in that moment where I'm like, okay, what do I really, really want? And I did all this stuff in leadership and I showed up in all these ways and influenced these people and motivated and raised revenue, all of that. But deep inside, something feels off. And that's when I started to realize like, okay, there is this like beautiful intersection that we have as humans where we do like we understand ourselves, our motivations, our values, our behaviors, our patterns, like all this stuff with inside of us. And all that stuff that we are inside shows up in every situation we're in, most notably at work when we're in leadership positions. So I started really thinking about the influence that we have as leaders and in our workplaces and how we really, really elevate ourselves as leaders when we really, really get honest and get to know who we are deep down inside. So I say all of that to give you a background because that was really the launching point for me to say, you know what? I want to do more with this concept. I want to really help people understand themselves and how they're showing up at work and influencing people so we can create amazing cultures and amazing results in our companies. So I got my leadership coaching certification, became a consultant, started a podcast. I'm doing all this work with, you know, really great leadership teams. And I love it. I love it. So that's a little bit about where I came from and what was the impetus behind me doing the work I am doing now.
I love it. Let me ask you this question. If you had to put your, like that impetus and in what you're doing into a mission, what would you say like you're here on this planet to do?
That's a good question. I feel like, let me see if I can put it into words that feel like very relevant. I feel like one of the things that, I'm here to do is help people understand who they're designed to be, not who they think they're supposed to be.
All right. I need to know what's the distinction there now. So like, cause it's particular language. I haven't heard it described this way before. So I'm like, oh, what's the difference between being like who they're designed to be versus like who they're supposed to be, quote unquote. So what would you say is the distinction there?
Yeah. And I think the quote unquote around supposed to be, it's that like, well, once I find a husband, then I will be a success. Once I have the SUV, then I'll be a success. Once I have the next level of leadership title, like we think that we're supposed to be these things or we get into leadership roles. And especially I think about like people who are newer in leadership roles, emerging leaders, like, okay, well, this is what it's supposed to look like to be a leader. I'm supposed to be like, have this authority and not be this or not be that. And so I think we are fed all of these messages, whether it's through society or growing up in our families, communities, or just in our own brains of who we think we're, quote, supposed to be, rather than stepping back, doing some reflection and be like, well, who deep down do I really, really want to be? Who am I like in my core feel like I'm designed to be? How do I step more confidently and boldly into that rather than listen to all these external voices of who I think I'm, quote, supposed to be? So it's really about that internal listening, the courage to do that investigation, because it's freaking hard to do that, and starting to quiet down the voices. And notice those voices that feel like they're a little out of alignment with your values and who you know at your core, who you really, really want to be.
Now, like, thank you. I'm taking this in, and like, my goal here is to like get you, you know. And
good
so,
luck, buddy.
Yeah, right. you're like that's mine too, you know. if you figure out who I am, you let me know.
Yeah, give me a little memo on that.
One of the questions that's going through my mind, I appreciate that. The only thing that's going through my mind is, like, Jenna, I experience you as being able to, like, you're one of the people that I'm like, oh, you can do anything, right? And you choose to do this. So I'm curious to know why this is important to you, and not from like the high level, like, yeah, you know, I think leaders should like have so much influence and so on and so forth. I'm like, like, what made this something that you said, like, what made this personal for you to say like, hey, like, no more, or mm-hmm. we're going to create something different. You mind taking me to that? Maybe it's a moment, maybe it's a story, like, but it'd be really great to like get, like, see the world through your eyes and why you made this choice.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I was in my mid 30s, I stepped into an executive leadership position in the organization I was in. I was a regional president for a nonprofit, and in my brain, I'm like, okay, I'm a president now. And I'm like, I better buy a bunch of suits. I better, like, you know, tone down my like crazy fun jewelry. I better, like, just really getting in my head about what I thought it meant to be a president. And some of it was, you know, stuff I was hearing maybe from more senior leaders who I admired, like, about how I should, quote, should show up as a leader, and how people might be perceiving me as a leader, which, believe me, is important. We need to really be thoughtful of how we're being perceived, right? But I was like, I believed, like, okay, well, leaders wear suits, I better wear suits. And like, I am not a suit person. So it was me stepping into this executive leadership space, not only, and I had moved for this job, I moved to a whole new city where I didn't know anybody, didn't know the city, didn't know the corporate landscape, didn't know the staff within that office. So here I am, a new girl in a new city. I was at the time the youngest person in the executive leadership team nationwide. So I felt like I had so much to prove. Here I am, like, new girl, new city, trying to prove myself, trying to prove to people that I'm worthy of being there, trying to show my value, trying to like turn up and over amplify my strengths. So people, you know, it's all this internal belief around our self-worth, right? But I was spending so much time trying to be a version of myself that I thought everybody else wanted, that I kind of lost touch with who I was. Like, before this, I was a semi-professional dancer. I was a writer. I had all of these things I used to do. And then I'm like, well, I can't do those things when I'm a president. And so I started to just put all those things that made me feel whole and happy and like myself, I put them to the side. And at some point, after a couple of years, and I was doing great in my job, and I was hitting goals, whatever. But I just remember just one day just being like, I'm not happy. Like, I don't feel like me. And it wasn't until then, and I started to do this real work of really figuring out like my values and what mattered to me and who do I really want to be, again, versus who I think I'm, quote, supposed to be, that I started to realize, like, okay, I can be this Jenna that I love, that I like, that is full of energy and creativity and vision and all of these things. I can be that and still be a title of a president and have this influence in my community and with my staff and with others. So it was a little bit of a reckoning for me, to realize that I was actually in control of my own happiness. Shocking spoiler alert for everyone. We're in charge of our own happiness. But to really own that for myself outside of work, so that I could show up way more powerfully at my job as a leader. And when I made that switch, I started noticing so many things just got a little easier, more frictionless. You know, staff was happy. I was engaging a lot more external stakeholders. Like that internal shift I did with myself had massive waves for myself in my leadership.
Yeah, thank you for this. Thank you. Like, I love getting real about this here. So, you know, there's something you said that I heard one way and I'm like, I don't know what the language was, but it was really nice. You said something earlier, you said either it was that internal belief or internal bully, but both of them work, you know? And I was like, I've never heard of an internal bully before. I'm like, she might've said belief, but like, regardless of it, I'm like, they both work. And it was a really nice like framework. Cause I could feel it, you know, I could feel that. I'm like, it's cool to, what I love also about this is that like, it was working on to one metric of success based on some person's definition of what success looks like. You're doing it. You're doing well in the job. Like you were able to make things happen. You were getting results. It was working on some level, but it wasn't working on either all the levels or the levels that actually like meant the most to you. Do you want to speak a little bit more to that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you call it the inner bully because I call mine my inner mean girl. She's just like such a brat. And I feel the way I describe her is like when she's really, really loud, I just imagine this like really annoying girl riding shotgun with me, just like chain smoking and trying to boss me around what music to listen to. She's just like relentless. And so that's what I think of when I have those, like that, those mean thoughts, those stories that continue over and over.
That was really interesting. I know you're going to go into something there, but I think this is a cool thing that we might be able to bring to outliers here. So Jenna, if we were going to like, I don't know if you already have an exercise around this or something like this, but I feel like part of this is like your thought leadership, this, whatever inner mean girl is. If you were going to, if there were outliers right now that was listening to this and said like, oh, whoa, I have my own inner thing, you know, like what would you recommend in order to help them like identify it? Like, and you did something with this that almost like makes it real, but also at the same time, like, all right, like you can have your own space. So just wondering if you want to speak really quickly to that component real quick, and then we'll jump back if we can.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, the inner mean girl is the not enoughness, our not enough story. We all have some sort of story, some sort of belief that we're not blank enough. You know, skinny enough, pretty enough, smart enough, capable enough. For me, my mean girl is like, you're not adding enough value. You need to add more value for people to see how worthy you are. And so it's a lot, the story around worth and value, which again was why I was showing up so much in that way at work. Like I gotta show up in this certain way so people can see how worthy I am of being here and how valuable I am. And it's exhausting because I am inherently worthy and am adding so much value, but it's so easy to forget that. And so I think that we all have that story about how we're not enough, and it's noticing when it's showing up and getting curious, like, oh, mean girl, you're here. Like you were in the back seat. Now you're riding shotgun. Like what's going on right now that may have had you show up? Like what's the environment right now? What am I believing about myself? What triggered me into believing this not enoughness? Did I not sleep enough last night? So I'm a little more like, you know, you're just showing up a little more quickly. Did I get an email from someone that sparked this? Like, so I think it's so important to one, notice it. And the more quickly you notice it, the more readily you can be curious, like, okay, why are you here? And most often than not, that mean girl is there because she wants to protect you. As annoying as she is, she's trying to protect you from being hurt or embarrassed or failing or whatever. And, you know, at one point that mean girl was helpful for us to keep us safe, but now we don't need her. Like we're grown-ass adults now. Like we can figure this out on our own. So it's just offering some compassion to the mean girl, saying, thank you for trying to be here to make me feel safe. I don't actually need you right now. But then it's actually thinking to yourself, well, what do I need right now? what is going to make me feel a little more soothed? Do I need to go for a walk? Do I need to cuddle with my dog? Do I need a hug? Do I need to whatever, like whatever you need to do to feel safe and soothed and come back to that regulated place of believing in your enoughness. Yeah. So that's how I deal with the mean girl. Some days more successfully than others. But...
Yeah. No, I mean, we're human, right? Yeah. I captured three things that from what you were saying right now that I just want to like play out, because you said earlier, I talked about distinctions. And when as we're doing this, it's making me think about like, how do we go from the unconscious, the things that we're doing unconsciously, mm-hmm. and then to become more conscious so we can make like active choice. And I heard three things from you here. Let me know if it feels like it's in alignment. The first one is awareness. And I like, and it's odd because like, sometimes I feel like it's like, it's underplayed awareness. Actually, let me just give all three so that people have that. And then like, we can talk about like some of the things from there. But I heard first you show up with awareness around it. You notice it, you know? So I think your language is actually notice. So like you notice first, then you bring curiosity. And it was really cool because like you had a ton of different questions, like, and different ways that you were looking, like what was going on earlier, what was happening, like, you know, there were so many different ways that you were like being curious about what you had just noticed. You know, I didn't feel any judgment in there, but it's just like, let's just be curious around like what were the circumstances around it. Oh cool, you came to the front, like that was really awesome there to see. And then what I heard then at the end was that like after the curiosity stage, then you just go and you ask yourself, what is it that you actually need and fulfill that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I heard those three stages taking place when like the inner bully, the internal bully, or the, you know, the inner mean girl shows up, or our versions of it. How did that like did I miss anything? Like, let me know how that felt in terms of.
Yeah, no, that was a really, nice succinct summary of that. But yeah, it is. I agree with you. I think people do underplay the power that just bringing awareness. Sheesh. I say just, but it's not just, it's like noticing. Like, I think that we are on autopilot so much where we're just doing things and we're believing stuff and we're just in this hamster wheel, because of course we are, like, we're inundated with, we're busy, we're doing things, but like, the power of slowing down and stopping and be like, ooh, this is an interesting thing that's coming up right now. And choosing like, is this something I want to believe right now? Is this actually true? And what else might be true? And maybe like, what other choice could I make right now? I think that there's just the simple act, and I don't, it's not so simple, but just noticing like, oh, I'm feeling like very, you know, I hate the word triggered, but like triggered right now, or like very escalated, or I'm having some emotions, or I'm feeling like rejection or abandonment or not enoughness, whatever it is, like the moment you can see like, ooh, I'm having a physical reaction, my emotions are firing up, what's up right now? Like, what am I believing about myself right now? So I think that is, man, it's the most powerful first step.
I feel you. I feel you. And not like as you're like, Jenna's actually just given us an entire toolbox of like questions to start out with here. And Jenna, like, you're going to get this recording. Like, if you don't already, like, you just have like this whole list of questions that someone can answer. Like, and look, I'll go through, like, whenever I take like a break from coaching someone, there's a list of questions that I got, like when I first came in, of like, mm-hmm. just questions to like ask people. You know, and I'll like go back to that list and it's just like real. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I could ask that. Or like some time ago, that wasn't as relevant for me as like a question I felt I could ask. But now I understand why that question is being asked. So there's something in here. Sorry, like as you're talking, I'm just hearing thought leadership just like flow out of you. And I'm like, so if you don't mind, every once in a while, I'll be like, yo, that thing you just said, that was gem fire. Because it seems so effortless for you, like your curiosity game and the ways that you've like there's mastery in this awareness space for you. There's mastery in like what you do in there versus, I spend time with people and they talk about similar things, but they don't, like, it's so high level that like, you don't see them actually in the game. Just like, you're like juggling 12 things at the same time, like of different sides. Like, I'm like, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I want to, this is my thing. I'm going to reflect back as it goes along. Yeah. What you got?
Well, what you just said too is something else I think a lot about. And I'll have a question for you on this, but You know, I talk to people a lot about strengths and passions. And often when I work with, you know, emerging leaders, and I'm like, okay, like make a list of your strengths and, you know, think back of, you know, all the projects you've been in and the jobs that you've had or whatever, like what are the similar things that follow you from each of those? And I think sometimes we downplay some of our strengths. We're like, oh, well, that's just easy for me. So like, it must be easy for everyone else. And what you just reflected to me about like my curiosity game and like just me being in that space, like, I just think it's easy. I'm like, oh, everyone does that, right? And so this is like a really like real-time reflection for me. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a reminder that this is actually a strength of mine and I'm probably in the right profession. But I'll ask you the same question. Like, what strengths do you have that you think like, oh, it just must be easy for everyone because it's easy for me? Like, do you have a awareness around what that is for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have like, I'll be honest, I have a crap ton. I have a lot of things that I do that are easy for me. I have a lot. And I say that confidently and it feels fun to say that there because I'm like, because when you said it, I was like, oh, I've been playing this game for a while. Like that's like been, and really looking at the awareness, like looking for the places, the things that have gotten me, you know, something. So let's look at this. Like right now we're talking on a podcast. I wrote a book last year that I never really like pushed out to anyone, never really went through like the full launch things. By the time someone's listening to this, maybe it's out there. But that process was like, even writing the book, it's actually not true because I authored a book. I went out, I would drive to a lake nearby me and I would spend about an hour a day just dictating my thoughts, you know, and coming back in. So one of my things is like, I'm good at speaking, you know, I'm good at talking, I'm good at creating transformation through my words and so on and so forth. And for the longest time, I was like, that doesn't translate to anything or like how is that tangible or whatever it is. And now all I've done is like, I'm like, how do I set up my life? How do I set up systems? How do I set up different things and such that all I'm doing is talking? And I think this podcast is like an example of it. Like there's many different ways that I can bring people into my world. There's many different things that I could launch a book. I could go and do ads and everything, but that's like, it's out of my genius. It's out of like the things that's easy to me. I talk. I love it. I love getting to know people. Like I enjoy it, you know? And so I'm finding myself like, that's one of the big ones there that I put out. And I'll just throw in one more just for funsies. And that's like my like process orientation. Like I actually, to tell you the truth, I'm going to be even more nuanced about it. I like copy paste edit. So that to me has its thing. I learned macros for in Excel my first year or two at the job, like when I was first getting the job, and someone had a macro class. I had done a little bit of computer science beforehand, and literally he at the end of it, he's like, yeah, so generally speaking, you can just like hit the record button, Excel will follow what you're doing, and then it will come up with the macro, and then what you do is that you just edit it for what you want it to be, and then you put a loop at the beginning and a loop at the end, and you're basically done. Yeah. And like at that moment, I was like, oh, this is everything. So when I create in the world, it's really like, how do I do it one time? Great, copy paste, done. You know? So that one right there is something I realized, I think it was just yesterday. I'm like, it's not just that I like to create automation. It's not that. It's like, I just want to copy paste over and over and over again and be like, I did it once. Great, copy paste. Let's do it again. You know, copy paste, let's go and go from there. So I'll put both of those two into the mix right now.
So what about that is, what about that process, that copy paste, the macros, like what about that is important to you?
I'm lazy, yo. But I'm lazy with a lot of ambition, right? And so I like to play is at my core. And so I like to be able to change things up. So by being able to have the copy paste, it's like, I know that there's something that works. Is it the most efficient? Probably not. You know, I'm not like a hardcore coder, you know, but will it get the job done? Will it require me to be there to do it? No. Okay, great. Because I have, my vision is much larger than any given moment. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you're casting me also at a time, Jenna, where I'm going back to see what are the things that worked well for me. Mm-hmm. But in a similar vein, I am choosing to become master level at the things that do work for me. Mm-hmm. Rather, I'm like in this space, I'm like, I copy paste. Okay. How do I like, like it's different than like I make automations. Like the mastery for me is a distinction of like, oh, I actually look for copy paste. Like, so I'll get played out like this. There are times where I'll do automation and I'll batch things. I'll try and do everything all at once. I'm like, oh, let's get 50 of stage one. And then like, now let me go build the automation for what happens afterwards. Now I'm like, let me just get one thing from start to finish. Did we do it? What are the variables that need to change? Copy paste, put in like where the variables change. Now I can get the 50 done or whatever, like without thinking about it. So that's the, I believe I answered your question, but that's like, that's what like spurs me as I move forward.
Yeah, no. And that makes sense because like you said, you're someone like you've got a vision, you've got all these things you want to do. And like, how do you create some efficiency in your life so that you can actually focus on what's important? And the good thing is that you love creating this process and finding these efficiencies for yourself. And why they may not be the most efficient efficiencies doesn't matter, right? Like it's about creating them and developing them and continuing to refine them so that you can like create a system that works best for you.
That's it. I think it's like, I like to put this into context. I'm glad you asked these questions because, you know, I think, these are my strengths. It's like, I come back to them. I actually didn't bring this strength for a long time, or like it was really hidden, but like we've released, I think at the time of this recording, probably 320 podcast episodes. Wow. Like we have like, an episode a day that comes out like now when we release, and it's like, it was done. Like I can think volume as an individual person because I have leveraged my strengths in this way. Otherwise, like when the vision, my size of my vision and my ability to actually carry it out start to get, like they start to clash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it plays out pretty out in an interesting way, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. I like seeing these things here and I like giving us a chance to make these things real, you know? I'm curious now then, as you're working with emerging leaders, you're maximizing your strength. You've been leading for decades, you know, like what's coming up next? What's the thing like when you say like, oh, this is how I'm making my difference in the world, what's something that like really lights you up about what's coming up next for you?
Yeah. You know, I think that it continues to evolve. Like you mentioned before, I'm someone who's got a lot of ideas and I see potential in so much stuff. And so sometimes with that, it's hard for me to be able to decipher like which things do I run at and which ones do I put on the back burner. But the things I feel like I'm running at more frequently is, you know, I just think about people who are maybe younger in their career or stepping into new leadership roles or becoming managers for the first time. And they're in kind of like where I was. I'm like, well, this is what it's supposed to look like when I'm a manager. I've seen managers do that in the past, so that's maybe what I should do. And I think what we're learning more and more and more is the stuff that our managers who are like maybe now in their 50s or 60s even, that's maybe not what's needed for leadership now. We need different skills and we need different competencies in our leaders now. We need empathy, we need emotional intelligence and inclusion and curiosity and all of this stuff that maybe people haven't had the right role models to see. Or so when you're thinking about like, hey, I'm stepping into this new leadership role, oftentimes people aren't thinking like, okay, well, what kind of internal work am I going to do to build my self-awareness, to understand my values, to get clear on what my strengths are and the ways that they may actually inadvertently be hindering situations. So a lot of this deep self-awareness and personal investigation work is stuff that I love doing with newer leaders, newer managers, people who are maybe afraid to raise their hand and say, I kind of don't know what I'm doing, but I'm in this new role and I'm feeling imposter syndrome and I don't know what to do about it. That's when you call Jenna, because that's where I love working one-on-one with people, whether it's through coaching or through corporate programs where I help, you know, develop emerging leaders through helping them understand themselves and what career growth means and, you know, leadership development and mentorship, like all of that stuff. I like working with individuals and companies to help those newer leaders feel less alone, help them get really clear on who they are, not who they think they're supposed to be, and step more boldly into those leadership spaces, which, as we know, when you have great leaders, Your cultures are better. Your trust is higher. You have better, you're better at retaining talent, and people are just having a fun time at work, which is what we were aiming for. If that's what we're going to be all darn day, let's have a fun time doing it. So that's where I'm headed, is working more closely with those emerging leaders, either one-on-one or through companies. And I do have my podcast too, which I'm so excited. Just like you, I love talking, and it's been a strength of mine since forever. And so I'm like, how do I do more of this? I'll start a podcast, right? And the first season of the podcast, and it's in with the podcast, I say out with the old, in with the you, really making space for who you know that you want to be, not who you think you're supposed to be. The whole first season is really me talking about that intersection of personal and professional development, standing in that space, really understanding who we are deep down so that we can be that person much more genuinely and bravely at work. So whole season one is talking about all the different steps you need to do to get more self-awareness. And season two, I just launched a couple of weeks ago, and I am talking to actual leaders and experts and business owners about their work of having to also step inside this intersection and say, is this who I really want to be? Is this having the most influence? So I think sometimes it can feel really lonely when we're in these spaces of leadership and we think everybody else has it figured out but us. Season two is about saying, not everybody has it figured out. Here's some real people who are actually really successful. And here's some of the stuff that they've had to learn and unlearn and try again at doing.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Janet. So we have the In With podcast. How else can someone else, like if someone's like, hey, I want to work with you, like, or I want to like continue down even further, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, for sure. You can find me at inwithcoaching.com. I'm on Instagram at inwithjenna. You see a theme here with the inwith thing. Also find me on LinkedIn, but I would say you can find my podcast, my website, my Insta, everything's connected under there. So I love connecting with people like you. I love getting to know people, understanding them. And it brings me so much joy when I get to connect with others.
That's fantastic. So let's do this here. We're going to wrap up this conversation with two or three questions. I might even jump in on something myself. The first one here is what I'll call like an outsight, right? So it's cool because you're like, you know, in with, right? Out with, right? So now the outsight for me is just like a takeaway, something that's coming from you to them. Like if there's something that you would love for outliers to walk away with, what would that outsight be?
Oh boy. Trying to narrow it down. I think so
you
much.
You can get more than one. People like this is a not so like hidden secret here, but I'm like, I like everything I do, I make up. And the other part of it is like, I actually often look for rules to be broken in a way that like, as long as it's done in a way that's like fun and like pushes things forward. So cool. If you got one, go for it. If you're like, I got two, own it. And you got that too. All right. So
yeah, I mean, I think, it goes back to what I said with my mission before, like get really curious when you are doing things because you think you're quote supposed to do them, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing, even though like I feel obligated to do it, or I feel like everyone else is doing it, or like, no, like really in those moments when you're feeling that sort of like obligation, or like, it's just the next step on the ladder that I have to do, say no, like, what would actually feel better for me right now? Like, how do I want to feel? That's a question I ask all the time. Like, I don't really like need goals of like achieving metrics. I want to be thinking about how do I want to feel, and let that be the foundation for how I make choices and behaviors and move through the world. So I would say, again, think about, is this who I feel like I'm designed to be? Is this who I really want to be? Or is this who I feel like I'm supposed to be because I've been told this my whole life? So get really curious and get really brave about stepping into that place.
Oh, I love it. And thank you here, Jenna. I want to talk about some insights now. And
okay.
There's actually an insight that's running through me in real time that I'm like, oh, if I don't say this, I wouldn't be playing the game. Interestingly enough, it has to do with rules being broken. The inner bully, my inner bully that just showed up here. And what's it called? There was one other thing that, that said, but it, we're basically everything that we've been talking about here, like, oh, they're supposed to be like, how's supposed to, like, they're supposed to, all of them just showed up. And I'm like, okay, well, this is like a moment, like, this is what I actually crave. Like, I'd say to people, I'm like, challenge me, you know, because I'm like, I can't grow without these kind of moments. You gave it, it's not being triggered, but it's like all these different words that you were using to describe, like, a moment that mattered. So do you mind if I share,
yeah,
like,
please,
the insight I got
please.
from it? So just a little bit ago, in one way, I'm really proud. Like, so we, so in the, like, you asked me some questions, right? And I answered, I felt really good about it. And then something in my mind was like, well, like, Niyama, this, like, you're supposed to lead the podcast conversation. Like you are the podcast leader. You're the host. You should lead the conversation, you know? And I was like, pretty cool. I was like, hey, we had a nice, like, spent some time there. I felt the segue out was, like, smooth, felt good, all that. But then I wanted to, and I realized, like, I was like, oh, did I exit the conversation because this is what is supposed to happen here?
Oh.
And like, cause, and the reason I felt that wasn't like just like an hypothetical thing. It was like, I realized, like, I really wanted to, like, I didn't feel like we got a chance to close, you know, like I didn't give, I didn't give you the opportunity to, like, be like, all right, like, let's wrap that part up. And like, for me and my leadership, like, that's how I would want that to, like, happen. So it was just really interesting because I recognized that in myself. I was like, oh wow, this really gives me a chance right now, because this is how my inner bully shows up. My inner bully like goes and says, it goes to, like, what was that perceived as, you know? How Niyama, like, you should have slowed down, or X, Y, and Z. So it gave me a chance to, like, remember this time and another time, like, I have some very clear moments as to when this inner bully shows up for me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, it's happening right now in real time because we got a chance to play this way. And I wanted to make sure that I said it. I didn't just keep it up in here, because I don't think anyone would have ever known, had any clue. But it felt really real. And I actually feel like I gained something having both had the experience, but also bringing it out into this space and having it be shared, like, here, to be able to work through. Because I'm like, this is it. This is the work happening in real time. So I wanted to share that with you here. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. This is what happens when you get a couple of coaches together, right? Like, so it was interesting. Thank you for sharing that. And it makes all kinds of sense why, I mean, when you're in the driver's seat of the podcast, it's like, even as much as you want to be free flowing and like, no agenda, you still have an agenda, right? You still have, like, you're looking at the clock, like, you're doing all these things. So it makes sense that you felt that. So when your inner bully showed up and said, hey, you didn't close this, you know, you should be driving this different. Like, what are you taking it to mean about yourself that this didn't, like, unfold the way that you thought it was supposed to fold?
Yeah, I think in this moment here, and, like, we'll probably have to have another conversation to keep going on with this, but like, in this moment here, it was a little bit more in, like, the space of, like, being curious with it. Like, there was a time where, I'll be honest, like, for like 10 seconds, I'm like, she's saying words, I can see her mouth moving, but I am, like, still just having this inner dialogue right now with myself, and I can acknowledge it and see it.
Yeah.
So, like, what was going on was just, like, a lot of observation of self. There isn't, like, a good, bad feeling. Like, I like that's not it anymore. It became really, like, curious. And I was like, this is literally what we're just talking about. It's happening right now. And I know that it was happening, and I can't get out of it happening because it's still happening. And for me, I was like, all right, I just still let it play out. It's still going to work on me, which is what I really enjoy. But I do know that, like, in terms of, like, what do I want? Well, what I want is to be honest. What I want is to be in connection with Jenna and let her know, like, the impact that she has is not just an intellectual thing. It actually, like, took root within seconds of spending time with you, within minutes of spending time with you. That's what I want. And then I can go play. And then I also got a chance to play in the space of, like, I like, how do I say it? I now have without a shadow of a doubt, that I can go back and forth in the conversation and have it be smooth like jelly. Like, I don't know if jelly is smooth, but like butter, maybe that's what people say. maybe butter. Let's go maybe butter. You know, I can have it be smooth, you know? And so like there's a part of me that is no longer worried. I wasn't worried beforehand, but I now have this, like, this inner knowing that, like, I honestly can make this thing whatever I want, and anything can be tossed, and, like, it could be valuable. And, like, I get to live into what I actually want. You be careful what you wish for, right? And I'm like, oh, I want something where I get challenged or this, that, and the other. And to me, challenge is like, it's not you pushing on any of my ideas. It's just like, oh, I don't know where to go next. Oh, that was an experience. I didn't expect that to show up. I'm feeling something right now. What is that feeling about? Like, what am I gaining from this? Like, those are the places that I wanted to go with. And I think that the other part is like, oh, now I have a chance to be able to, for me, in terms of my doctrine and what I believe in, like, not hiding behind it, you know, is something that's important to me. And I could have like edited, recorded and shared it with you, but I felt like, you know what, I think it'd be better to like put it in the space so that we get like, this is what I live for. I live for all the things that are not textbook, that are not like exactly how it's supposed to be. And it's like, when it actually shows up, it gets messy, or it can get messy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to actually exemplify like when the messiness shows up. So I'm like, I can tell people to be honest. I can tell people to speak to it. But if I myself, I'm not going to do it, then I lose my own credibility and I fall out of integrity. Yeah. So that's where that plays out for me right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that and to share that vulnerability with all the listeners too, who can like in real time see how things like this play out. And for, like you said, that you noticed it, you observed it, you brought that awareness to it. Like we said before, that awareness is so critical. So that might be my other outside is just start being so much more curious and start noticing and bringing awareness. So that would be my other reminder to folks.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you doing that. We're going to end in this in two ways here. One, my dogs are going to want to join the conversation. They're cheering on this part here. Two, what's been one insight that you've had from any part of this conversation?
Yeah. I think it was a really nice reminder. I talk all darn day to people about strengths and how the things that are easy to you are like your superpowers. And so for you to reflect back to me that, you know, my awareness and curiosity is effortless. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of forget that it is because I use it all the time and I don't even think about it. So that was really validating for me. And it made me feel a lot more, not that I was ever unsure that I was on the right path of what I'm doing, but I do feel even more reinforced in that path. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for choosing the path. And thank you for putting yourself in a position where that's said, like, your power is strong. Like, literally, I'm sitting here, I'm like, whoa, it's happening. Like, the thing that she said was going to happen is happening. So like, I like outliers spend time in Dennis' world. Like, you know, like I can attest myself, like even right now, that it takes root. So the last thing we'll do here is we'll leave you with this question. It's called the time capsule question, right? And it's about leaving a message for yourself, right? So it's a message that you would leave for yourself right now that like the Jenna of 15 years from now might need to be reminded, right? It's not like it's a lot of times we go and ask for advice and what they would have said backwards. It's like, no, you have something right now that in 15 years you might forget. So what's something that like is true to you right now that you want to be reminded of later on and never want to forget?
I think that something that's really true for me is to just continue to prioritize the things that make me feel most in touch with my like earlier self. Like, I know we're not talking about going back to talk to your earlier self, but like, I often go back and say, what would make my earlier self proud today? And so just to continue doing those things that make the carefree, creative, playful, joyful, earlier, younger, deep down inner Jenna proud, keep doing those things.
There we have it. Well, I appreciate you, Jenna. Thank you so much here. It's been a really fun conversation. And I'm glad to have discovered more of myself through this year. That's all I can ever ask for. So appreciate you being you. Thanks for bringing your power to every conversation. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.